you guys don't know, we're going to go over some student stories from students who went on trips last year. However, if you haven't noticed yet, there's only one guy, and there's three girls. Well, there's two guys, but I don't count right now. But let's go over that. So I was just talking to Ciro, and he told me a stat that when it comes to Envision internships, 90% of them are females. So, ladies, give yourself a round of applause. But I'm going to take it one step further. Ladies, if you're next to a man, I'd like you to look at him real quick and repeat after me. Step up. Step up. Say it again. Step up. Amen. I'll also make you this promise. If we send out on short-term trips more men than women this year, during missions training week after graduation, I will let you shave my head.
What?
So, to the men, step up.
That's sick.
Step up. All right. We shook on it. You saw it. All right. Let's get into this. Would you guys, starting with Evie, would you introduce yourself and just say what trip you went on last year, and then just give us one word to describe that trip?
Okay, of course. My name is Evie. And I went to Indonesia, like you guys saw on that video, and I did a month-long internship, so I was working with Cassandra, she was amazing, and my one word would be transformative, for sure.
All right, my name is Elisa. I went to Greece last year, and one word I would use is probably growth.
My name is Wendy. I went to New York last year, and I would probably say crazy, but like in a good way, you know?
My name is Trey. I went to Alaska, and my word is, it was transformative.
Come on, it's awesome. Guys, I'm excited for you guys to hear these stories. Who should we ask a question to first, though? I heard Elisa first. So, Elisa, when you think back to last year's Global Impact Week and you're sitting in chapel, you're hearing about the trips, what was going through your mind in that moment?
Honestly, in Global Impact Week, I feel like I was kind of making every excuse possible in my head to, like, not do a missions trip. I was thinking, oh, it probably wouldn't work. Like, I have, like, allergies and stuff. It'd be hard to, like, travel. And I was like, I don't know where I'd get all the money and, like, all these things. And then I just kept kind of feeling this tug on my heart to do it and just to trust God with it. And I kind of felt like I was called to it. So I was like, I guess I'll fill out an application, like that's no commitment, I'll just fill it out, or I'll just like, I kind of just kept going through the steps, and just slowly God came through in every way, and I also, side note, did not get sick once on my trip, and that was a huge concern of mine, and I was fully funded, so it was amazing, yeah.
That's great, yeah. Evie, what about you? What were your thoughts as you sat in this room and you heard about the trips?
So I was so excited because of the way that you guys reveal all the trips and just the amazing places, honestly. So if I'm being so honest, I was like, there is no way that somebody else wants to sponsor me to go to Greece or England or somewhere incredible. Like, where has this been all my life? That's amazing. And in response to that mindset, I would say that these trips are definitely not your next vacation. And if you go into that trip thinking that, you'll be pretty disappointed because you're going to really come alongside the people there and what they're doing, to come alongside the local church, and just to partner with the Lord and what he's doing there. So that being said, definitely look into the work that you're doing at these different places and be wise in your skill sets. Like, do you love people your age? Do you connect with them easily? Do you love working with kids? Like, whatever it is. And then, of course, be prayerful over it and pray that the Lord would lead you in a direction. But all that being said, it's okay to be excited about a place, and I think the Lord can use that. The world is a huge place, and the Lord made beautiful people, beautiful places, and your desire to go see one of those spots is really beautiful, and the Lord can use it. So don't feel ashamed because you're so psyched to go to, like, England, because it is exciting. So,
come on. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Wendy, when you think about leading up to the trip, right, were you scared of anything? When you heard about the trips leading up to the trip, was there any fear?
I think my first trip, it was kind of different kinds of fears. I think the first time that I went on a missions trip was to Alaska in 2023. And I think the fear for that trip was kind of just like fear of the unknown and just like not knowing what the trip would look like just because I've never been on a trip. But this year around, back in May when I went to New York, I think it was more of a fear of just like going into the big city. Because I've grown in a small town my whole life, and I've always been a part of smaller communities. And so going to New York was just a little scary just because it was like, it's New York, you know? Like, so I was like, shoot, it's kind of big over there, but that's kind of the only thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. Trey, I don't know if you have any fears other than golf carts, but did you have any fear, if you know, you know, did you have any fears leading up to your trip as well?
Well, originally I was supposed to go to Thailand, and unfortunately enough of us couldn't raise enough money, and I do feel like that was God telling me I'm not ready for that. Thailand was definitely more of a spiritual battle, walking through red light districts, trying to take those young girls out of that situation. I don't know if I was there in my faith yet, and then God putting Alaska back in my path, that was my calling, is manual labor, working with children, and then like leading up to it, I really wasn't afraid. I was like, a lot of weight was lifted off my shoulder. Brandon was pressuring me into doing an internship at Thailand a little bit, so I was getting more and more nervous. Then again, God came in and said, hey, we're probably not going to do this trip this year, and going to Alaska, I mean, yeah, I wasn't afraid. I was, this as my, it's like my backyard. I've never been, but I was like, manual labor, that's me, dude. I love that. I think the scariest thing was, I know you have a question about trainings. The trainings are a little scary just because, like, you have us go up and perform, like, a scenario. And sometimes that's terrifying because you will come across somebody that is going through such a hard time, and you have to somehow speak life to them. And it's hard because they're just sobbing and things like that. Luckily, I didn't come across that, but I had to practice it. And I would say that was the only scary thing is, will I say the right words to get them out of that situation?
Yeah. Now, when we think about the fundraising process, that's a big fear for some people, right? We've already talked about the fact that the average cost of a trip is $1,000 less than last year, which is a huge praise God moment. But Evie, when thinking about the fundraising process, how were you challenged but also encouraged throughout that journey?
For sure. I would say that the fundraising process is one of the biggest ways I saw the Lord move, just like right off the bat. So, I mean, praise God, he provided for me in an incredible way. And I know that's not everybody's experience. I know that we work really hard to get everybody on a trip that wants to go. But just as a testimony, I was in the very unique situation of having excess funds. And so people just poured in, and it was so humbling. So I was in the position of stewarding that, like, where do I put this? And so I prayed that the Lord would bring people across my path that he wanted to go places and that needed funding. And so there was one day, I remember, I was talking with a friend, and she needed $200. And that was just the amount that would make her comfortable with where she was and her fundraising goal. And then that very day, I got a check from an uncle or something, and it was for that exact amount that she needed. So when I received that, I'm like, this is not my money, this is for her, and I just got to be a part of a really cool process, and so praise God for that. He really does provide, and yeah, but it can be challenging, and I know that there's some struggle in that area. I mean, I can't speak for how it will be for me in the future, but I would say the most challenging thing for me, it's kind of awkward because you're sending letters to your loved ones, and you're like, hey, you got like some money, And so I think that's normal, and that's okay to feel awkward about it. But I'll use an analogy that Brandon had for us last year. The Great Commission in Acts is for everyone. It's not optional. It's just that the difference is some people are called to actually go, and others are called to support. So it's like a rope. Some people are called to go down the rope, and others hold it. So when you're asking people, like, hey, do you have any funds to support me on this trip? You're giving them an opportunity to partner with what the Lord is doing in you and in your time there, like what the Lord's doing with those people. So it's almost opening a door for them, and it's letting them be involved in something amazing. So I would say a lot of people are appreciative of that. They don't have to donate, but you're opening the door, you're involving them, and it's a really beautiful process.
It's amazing. Come on. Yeah. Alisa, would you give us what you would say the most memorable moment of your trip would be?
I hate that I have to follow Evie right now. That was so good. I feel like the most memorable moment for me was probably around maybe our like fifth day and something like that. We had already built like some relationships with the refugees that we were working with there. But there was one day that, I guess I didn't really say, what we were doing there is we were working with refugees from Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan there. And we got to bring people from the camps to this one park area, two different camps, and we brought them all together, and this was an area that they would often, like, go. It was close to the camps. They would go there, and they would, like, hang out and cook and everything. So we got to be there with them for that, and we learned, like, different games that they played. They taught them to us, and they actually cooked for us. That day, a lot of the days, we were able to, like, bring them in and cook for them, but that day, they wanted to serve us, and so they, like, cooked over a fire. They served us, and we just, like, got to be in kind of community with them, and, yeah, just through, like, learning from them and doing life with them and everything, and then we, like, did worship with them in Farsi. We got to share some of our stories through, like, translators and everything. A lot of the children also spoke English, so we got to just like speak with them directly. But through that time, I felt like that was one of the first times I really saw a lot of them open up. And some of these people were people we had hung out with for the past like several days, but they seemed really like closed off, had a lot of like walls up and everything. But then once we kind of like let ourselves kind of be served and we just like rest in that community that they had there, then they started to open up and share from their own stories and kind of ask these like hopeful questions about who God is and starting to like look past a little bit their situations and into like what is this person that these guys are talking about and everything. And that was just really memorable for my day. One thing that like really stuck with me that one of the missionaries there told us was he was like, when we have like short-term missionaries who come in here and they share the stories about what God has done in their lives, then these people realize that this isn't just one person that God has worked through, because this ministry there, like, it was the one woman who ran this ministry, and when we come in, we share our stories, then it's like, oh, God did this in other people's lives, maybe he can do that in my life too. So that was really impactful.
Yeah, that's great. Come on. Wendy, you want to share your most memorable moment as well?
Sure. I'm so glad you're going in order, because, like, I don't have to flip through my little notes. I think my most memorable moment was, I think it was our fourth day, or no, it was actually our last day there before we traveled back. We were with just the ladies went somewhere, and then the guys went out to do street evangelism that day. But we were in the Bronx, and we were teaching English to a bunch of Muslim and West African women. And most of them knew French, so it was a little bit difficult to, like, teach them English, but, I don't know, I feel like just being there with them, we were only with them for a couple hours, but, like, their stories, even with that language barrier, we were able to, like, share so much of our stories, in, like, such a short amount of time, and I think that was just very impactful for me, because, it showed just, like, how much effort they're, like, willing to put in to, you know, like, learn English, because just by learning English, they have their opportunities, like, expand, like, almost double, and so just being there with them and hearing their stories was very inspiring, and they have beautiful stories that I wish, because of the language barrier, obviously, we couldn't share too much, but, yeah, that was probably most memorable.
That's great. Now, Trey, Alaska's known as having some great stories through the years. Can you give me a fun story, real quick, of your time in Alaska?
Yeah. Our last, I guess, fun day there, where we didn't have to do anything with the missions, the camp was over, I guess. The Christian camp was over. So we got to have fun for a day, because the
I thought the whole thing was fun.
Yes, but I mean, like this was, we got to go out on our own and have...
We get what you're saying,
tour, whatever. We got to go drive racers, and we got to go in, like, back in the mountains, and we're just driving racers. The number one rule was no drifting, okay? So we get back, all of us had to switch drivers, If you guys know Bobby, Bobby listens to directions and
Brian
follows.
And Dr. Hall, plug your ears for this story, please.
Bobby follows all the rules. Bobby finally got to drive back. That first thing he did was drift. He drifted into a rock, popped the tire. And the racer's stuck. And, like, we're all like, dude, what? I got to watch him do the walk of shame into the trail guide's racer. Bobby's just in the back. And then we get back, we're done, we get cleaned up, we go back in the van, and Bobby goes, like, he felt bad the whole time, and then he gets in the van, he goes, that was awesome, let's go, like, he didn't even care, it was so funny, it was awesome.
All right, and now my job is on the line. No, that's great, come on, you gotta have some fun on it, you gotta have some fun.
Yeah, it was good.
Great. Evie, did your perspective on anything change while on your trip, right? You're traveling to a different country, different people group, different religion. Was your perspective shifted on anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I went to Indonesia, and all the ministry that we're doing there is very relationship-based. So you're being present with people, you're showing them the love of God, and you're trusting that seeds are being planted and that the Holy Spirit is working through that. So it's not super typical to, like, street evangelism and then people getting, like, saved. Like, you know, you don't have that statistic most of the time. But I would say that being able to invest in people there, to invest in relationship and to call it ministry, I came home and I'm like, oh, wait, my entire life here is made up of relationships. That is my ministry. So I realized that my mission trip is not in a month in Indonesia. It's literally my entire life, and that gets to be my testimony. And I just think that's such a privilege, you know. I think that if we look at our lives that way, it can open up doors for the Lord to work. Because, I mean, look at the people around you, look at your circle, and think of it like divine encounters that the Lord has set out for you, like, truly. So yeah, my perspective has changed.
That's great. Awesome. Elisa, can you give us a glimpse into what it was like being hosted by the missionary that hosted you guys?
Yeah, it was awesome what we got to do, because we were staying with a lady, her name was Zena, and she was a refugee herself. She had just been recently in Greece for a few years, and she started this ministry herself, so she was able to go into the camps and bring refugees back and everything. She had a whole center there and everything. But it was awesome being able to live with her, because we really just got to do life with her. We got to see her in every area, and her whole ministry was relationships with people. So we got to just be there as she had those relationships and brought people in and everything. And we also, there was someone who was living with her who had just recently been saved, and she was a refugee still, and we got to just, like, pour into her. And it honestly kind of just changed my perspective on short-term missions in general, because I feel like at first I was kind of like, what can I really do in, like, 10 days? Like, is that enough to really do much? Like, am I going to see any, like, major conversions or anything like that? But I feel like what I really saw was that we were able to support her in her ministry that is already there. It's already happening, and it's going to continue happening. But we get to, like, get rid of any, like, blocks that could come in the way of people finding Jesus through her ministry. So whether that was, like, helping her do grocery runs, or whether that was helping her as, like, there was kids coming in, we had to watch the kids as she was able to work with the adults, or whether it was doing dishes for her, just, like, different things. We got to do life with her and help her in those days, and she was so grateful for that, and it just really helped her ministry in general. So yeah, it was really cool.
That's great. I'm gonna ask all of you this question. We're gonna start with Wendy, and then we'll go to Trey and around. But for, if you were to speak to one person in this room, right, and they're saying that they're considering going on a trip, they're not sure though, what would you say to them?
I think if, like, you're feeling just, like, a sense of curiosity, like, even in, like, the slightest bit right now, I think that truly is God, like, touching your heart. And a verse that I had for that was Joshua 1:19. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And regardless of whether you know what trip you're interested or not, I think that you really just have to put your trust in God. But the first step to that is like obedience. So I would say obey that curiosity that the Lord is pouring into you, and just trust him in the process. If it really is his will, he will provide. He will give you the fundraisers. He will let you connect with your team. He will remove any fears that you have, and you just have to be strong and courageous, and he will be with you through the whole process.
Great. The rest of you, just one sentence, because we don't have too much time left, but one sentence to say to the person considering a trip.
Do it.
Great.
You have nothing to lose and all to gain.
Comma, comma. Yeah.
I would say it's okay to still be in process yourself. If we waited until we were perfect or holy enough to go on these trips, we'd be waiting our whole lives. So it's okay to be in process.
Come on.
I'd say it's easier to decide you need to take a step back than wish you had taken a step forward, semicolon. So if you're thinking about filling out the application, just do the application. And you can always be like, you know what, I'm not called this year. But it's harder to be like, dang, I should have done that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. Would you guys give a hand to these four real quick?